Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network. Preparedness Radio. With your host, John Jeffers. And good evening. I am, in fact, John Jeffers here on a Saturday night. This is our, I want to call it a test series, our second show on a Saturday night, starting off at 11 o'clock on the Central Time Zone, just to see if it could get a different type of audience. Now, I like to call it the Saturday night show. And you're saying, but John, you got the same theme you do for your Sunday night show. And that's true. Because I want to see what kind of audience reaction we get. And I measure that by the metrics of how many downloads and listens I get for the Saturday night show before I dump any money into it. So I was like, it's just a test show. You're saying, well, why are we doing something at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night? Well, I'll tell you why. Because to tell you the truth, it's Saturday night, there's nothing on TV. So you're probably sitting at home. If you're on the computer, that means either A, you're married, your wife and your spouse is in bed, or B, you're single, you're broke, and you can't go out, so you're sitting on the computer wondering, oh, well, there's anything interesting I could find out there. Welcome, guest 1282 in the chat room. Appreciate it. Glad you're here. You know, one of the things I want to tell you about some things that I've been thinking about lately, and it's kind of a roundabout way, so just bear with me. It takes about a minute or two to actually get around to the point. And so that way you know where I'm coming from. You see where I'm going with it. The last couple weeks, I saw a post out of China. And I didn't share it because I was so disgusted and disturbed by it. I was torn between wanting to let people know what was happening and risk glorifying what I saw in there. So I'll tell you. What I saw was a post that came out of China, the picture of China, of a large dog that was being skinned alive. It sickened me. And it has actually disturbed me. And it disturbs me even more today because, well, I'll tell the truth, in all fairness, I do have a Rot Shepherd, or I did have a Rot Shepherd mixed dog. And I had it for 13 years, and I had to put her to sleep Wednesday. So, granted, it was a tough decision, but I'm bothered by the fact that I had to do it. And I get it. That's the downside of owning pets. I get it, okay? It's not that it wasn't the right thing to do. It was. It's still a hard thing to do because she's become a part of the family by then. Okay, regardless, fast forward, last week. Oh, sorry, this week, saw a story out of South America. 3 5-year-old boys attacked and beat the dreaded and vicious flamingo and beat it to death. I'm thinking, what in the hell is going on? What is wrong with people to think that they can... I know hunters, and all the hunters I know, whatever they kill, whatever they hunt, whatever they kill, they eat. I don't know personally of any hunters that actually do the trophy thing. They go out there, you know, they hunt, whatever they kill, they eat. From what I understand, moose is a pretty good meat. I don't know, I've never had it. However, I started thinking to myself, what kind of a sick world are we living in when we condone, we don't condone it, but what kind of sociopaths are we raising in our societies? Okay, now this is where I bring it around. Then I started me thinking, you know, in some places, we are living in the world without law right now. Without rule of law. Without rule of law. It's called WROL. If you're a new prepper, that's the acronym. WROL. It's called ROL. And it means without rule of law. In many cases, we can point to many situations, even in our own country today, where we see without rule of law, where we have laws against something, but yet they're not being enforced. And my point is this. If we have people that are willing to do this to helpless and defenseless animals who have no threat to them, just the sheer cruelty and barbarity of it, what will it be like when the grid goes down? When the grid goes down, there will be no rule of law other than what we make. Now, it seemed to me that as preppers, we have to make, or we have to keep our morals, our moral and ethical standards. If we don't, then we're no better than that for which we try to protect ourselves from. How we rule with law will also be subject to debate. For example, if the grid goes down, would you want to keep the, shall we say, for lack of a better term, the justice system we have now in the United States, where the state has the burden of proof, or say something along the French lines, the Napoleonic Code of Justice, where the state makes the charge and the defendant has to prove their innocence? Or do we rule with our own morals and ethics on a case-by-case basis? It's something that it's been in my mind, and I wanted to share it with you. I don't understand, and I would appreciate it if someone could explain to me why. I mean, we've seen all kinds of stuff. We had that guy in Crawfordsville, Indiana, douse a kitten in gasoline and light it on fire. Why? What the hell is wrong with people? You know, there are some people on the left who advocate man should live in harmony with man. I say this. We can't even treat each other with respect. And, you know, I take that back. The majority of people can treat each other with respect and not break the law and not harm others. Then we have the small percentage of the population who are recidivist, who insist on taking and harming others. And it seems to me, how can man treat each other with respect to the lower life forms, such as animals, who pose no threat to man, when we can't even do that to each other? So someone please, if you know, someone tell me how, in God's name, you could sit here and skin a dog alive. Can you imagine how painful that was? What the fuck is wrong with people? Now, I know some of you are listening, don't like that language, but sometimes my emotions get the best of me. And I got to tell you something, after this week, my emotions are like dead raw right now. My give a damn meter is on empty. So please, someone call in and tell me. My number is 516-453-9389. And explain to me how being cruel to animals, a lower life form, somehow advances the cause of humanity. Somehow benefits humanity. We can't even do that to each other. The things that, you know, I was a cop for 26 years. The things I've seen man do to each other, just in my own county. And then I sit there and I think about it and I just put it exponentially across the state, across the region, across the country, and across the world. The things man does that we do to each other is pathetic. And I can guarantee you it will be worse when the grid goes down. Now you're saying, John, you said when the grid goes down. That's right. That's what I said. When. I didn't say if. In my opinion, it's just a matter of time. Now, if you listen to the show a couple weeks ago, I gave you a whole list of signs, of warning signs to look for before the grid goes down. One of the biggest signs, and I want you to pay attention because this is true. When I read this list, I thought, oh, my Lord, this is the biggest sign you could find out. If you happen to be a person like a news junkie or just the person who watches the news daily, whether, you know, one of the biggest signs, the biggest giveaway that the grid is about to collapse will be political leaders can no longer be found. What do I mean by that? What I mean is they're not out there busy trying to be media whores. That's going to be your biggest sign. Because when they disappear, you know where they've headed. They've headed to the bunkers way ahead of the people, especially here in the United States. Because in the United States, the people have no bunkers to go to, unlike in Russia and China, where they have bunkers for the people. Here in the United States, we're kind of more or less left on our own and left to the old civil defense shelters left over from the Cold War, you know, 40 years ago. So here we are in a world, you know, without the rule of law. So what would it look like? I don't know who coined it first, but it seems to accurately describe the worst type of scenario preppers imagine. A without rule of law world could spring up spontaneously, or it could grow out of some relatively common natural disaster. To imagine a role world, you would simply have to imagine no police, fire, or ambulances coming to your aid. In a rural world, you'd be on your own or left with your band of friends and neighbors to provide for yourself all of the services that are now gone. If you look around, you might have seen some glimpses of a rural world, even if they are quickly controlled. Looting is an example of rural behavior, and so are riots. The two go hand in hand, but the police rely on controlling the crowd to a large extent to keep these events from growing much larger than they are. So if the police are not available or are overwhelmed, what happens then? When the rioters and looters don't have any reason to stop the spread of rage and violence, what do they move on to next? Imagine something as benign as the power grid failing for some arbitrary period. Let's say a fluke takes out the power for the entire eastern seaboard for 1 month. Could be terrorist-caused outage, solar flare, or some random chain of events that causes a domino effect of failures to equipment and systems. Imagine also this happens in August and the East Coast is also experiencing warmer than usual weather. Without power, what could possibly happen in the United States? Do you think riots would break out? Could you see looting of stores? Without power, there'd be no way to refrigerate food. You wouldn't be able to pump gas, run credit card machines or ATMs, air conditioners or ice makers. Cell towers would be ineffective. They'd only be as effective until the battery power, and they all have battery backups. I know because I've seen them. I've been inside the towers. But eventually the batteries will run out, if you can get on the network at all. Would you be able to go to work? Not likely unless your job involves something manual that was completely not reliant on electricity or fuel. Most people's job is 100% dependent on the internet and electricity. Public transportation would be down, and even government services would be unable to help. So what would millions of hot, hungry, and panicked, I'm sorry, hot, hungry, and thirsty and panicked people do? So what would you have to worry about in a raw world? Let's see, Bessard is in the chat room. Welcome, my friend, on a Saturday night. Is this all a fairy tale? Maybe. There are a lot of people who believe nothing bad like this will ever happen, and that our way of life will keep on chugging along in more or less the same fashion it always has. I call them fools. I have said many times that I hope is our shared reality, but I am planning for the chance that it doesn't. My own threat matrix is my gut. You will find no shortage of people who say worrying about things like this is a waste of effort. Those are the people who will be knocking on your door asking for food and water if they ever find out that you're a prepper. By very definition, raw means there is law and order, so normalcy is pretty much out the window. With a failure like this, there wouldn't be enough police, National Guard, or military combined to help everyone out. Just so you know, let me give you a quick statistic here. There's a little over 315 million people in the United States, and there's only about 600,000 police officers in the whole country. Do the numbers, do the math. All these soldiers, police, and firemen have their own families to watch over, most likely, and I could see many of them, if forced to choose between going to work, stopping a riot, or staying at home to defend their wife and kids, would choose the latter. I know I would. Again, there will be those who disagree and say that the professional soldier, police officer, or fireman would never abandon their post and communities or rally together to take care of one another in times of crisis. Maybe when the crisis is over, but not while everyone is going through it. So what can you do now to prepare for a role? The above entitled scenario is relatively short-lived. There have certainly been natural disasters where the destruction caused power outages for a long time. Presumably, we would have half a country that could rally to help us, but assume for a second, help isn't on the way. You are on your own for a month of potential lawlessness. Okay, here. Imagine a month of The Purge lived out in real life. If you saw the movie The Purge, it's where crime is legal for one day a year for 24 hours. Of course, government officials have exempted themselves from said purge because, you know, you got to have the government, right? So, anyways. So imagine that being played out in real life. So who makes the best target? The guy right in front of you? If there is widespread violence being carried out in the name of rage or of need, stay far away from it. You don't want to be anywhere near the chaos that is going on. It would be better to let it burn out as much as possible before it gets to you. Now, in this case, bugging out may be your best option. So have a plan for that contingency in your back pocket. Guest 1292, welcome to the show. He's in the chat room. So you have to have a plan for that contingency in your back pocket. Now, in your scenario, you would have plenty of time to make that decision, but you should have prepping supplies together before the ability to acquire them has passed. You know what they say? Critical incident occurs. The time for prepping is over. Now, this includes everything you need: food, water, shelter, security, and hygiene for a minimum of, say, 6 months. So start small if you have to. Could you use the buddy system if you have to, you know, travel or bug out? You don't want to go it alone. Someone needs to be there to watch your six and potentially pull you out of trouble. In a without rule of law world, I foresee deadly force as being much more prevalent and warranted if your life is in danger. Now, I'm not saying to go out and shoot people walking down the street, but if they are threatening your life, then you have a choice to make. It is better to consider this now as opposed to in the moment, even though I realize and admit that thinking about killing someone is a lot different than actually pulling the trigger. And that's true. You know, some people say, well, I'm not afraid to die. Well, it's easy to say when no one has a gun to your head and you're about to meet your maker in about the next 3 seconds. It's also another thing when you point your weapon at a person and you need to realize, if you've thought about the situation, you realize that if you pull that trigger and you kill that person, I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, it's justified or not justified. What I am saying, you will end everything they were, everything they are, and everything they will be. And when you pull that trigger, there's no calling that bullet back. It's going down range to wherever you aimed it. So keep an eye out. If there's a real threat of violence in your neighborhood, you won't be able to simply lock the door and hope they'll go away. If you haven't already, post-event, you should form up with your neighbors immediately to draw up plans for security and address any needs of anyone in your local group. If you don't have a local group, get one. Whatever you did or didn't do before the event will need to go out the window if you want to survive. It takes more than one person to stand guard all night. And by the way, for those of you who think you're just going to go up to the mountaintop and sing hallelujah, at some point, you're going to have to sleep. Arm yourself responsibly. And legally. I'm a big advocate of responsible firearm ownership. This assumes you have the training, and that's important. And when I talk about training, I'm talking about this. I would rather spend $700 on an AR-15 and then spend another $1,500 on training, as opposed to buying a $1,500 AR-15 and only spending $300 on training. And knowledge of how and when you should discharge that firearm in the course of defending your life, because the bottom line is this. Maybe, in a world without rule of law, it could come back. The rule of law could come back. And when it does, you may have to defend your actions. And remember this. When you pull the trigger, you and only you are going to explain why you did what you did. That is the truth of the matter. I'm not trying to scare you, just telling you. So just make sure you're the good guy in the situation. A world without the rule of law is what I envision as a mixture of a war zone and a Mad Max movie rolled all into your favorite disaster flick. Essentially, I never want to go through anything like this, but if something this catastrophic comes your way, you better make sure you have a plan and you're ready to go. Now, I found this article on theprepperjournal.com, written back in 2015. And I wanted to share it with you because I think it's important about what we were talking about earlier. Bassard 2001, he's in the chat room. He says, you know, he was at the range today. He says, you would be amazed how people treat their firearms. They don't know what they don't know. And that is true. I posted a video, I think 3 days ago, on the CRN Facebook page. And we have a video of a instructor, and I use that term loosely, behind the firing line in the range with a revolver. As I watch the video, he's talking and running around, and he's got the hammer pulled back. Well, guess what? Dipshit had his finger on the trigger. And it discharged while he's trying to instruct people on firearm safety. Really? If it was up to me, I'd tell the guy, give me my money back. You're a knucklehead. And there are people out there like that who masquerade as, I'm a firearms instructor. Really? What credentials do you have to be a firearms instructor? Just a question that needs to be asked. I see Julie's in the chat room. Julie, my dear, you're doing well. Keep it up. I'm glad you're here tonight. It's just, again, it's a Saturday night. Not everybody has something to do. And let's face it, TV kind of sucks. So getting back to my original premise of how I came about this, and, you know, in case you joined us late, I want to know, I want to know this. It's one thing. Okay. Do me a favor. I don't want to go through it again. When we're done with the podcast, I want you to go back to the beginning of the show, and I will tell you how I arrived at this particular subject matter. So, when the grid goes down, we got an idea of what it might look like without rule of law. I think it's pretty tame. You will have people, I think the best description is what is like the last, you know, what we said at the end. It's a war zone and a Mad Max movie rolled into your favorite disaster flick. Only thing is, at 90 minutes past, the movie doesn't end. It just keeps going. And it doesn't get better. It gets worse. So what are you willing to do? Because I explained to you two stories in the last 2 weeks of humans creating senseless acts of barbarity and cruelty to animals who are no threat to them whatsoever. In case you joined us late, we have 3 5-year-olds that attacked a flamingo and beat it to death. And then, of course, we have the large dog being skinned alive. If these animals, these sociopaths, these psychopaths, are willing to do that to a defenseless animal who's no threat to them, what are they going to do to you? You got food and water. What are they willing to do to your family? If you have teenagers, like Julie, I used to have one, but it grew up. You know as well as I do, teenagers listen like the wall. They don't freaking listen to any instruction you give them unless you sit there and you lay down the law hard and thick so they understand that you're not playing around. And even then, the knuckleheads may not listen. So you tell them to stay put, and what do they do? They're going to go off and do their own thing because they know better than you. So now you're stuck in a without rule of law situation where your 15-year-old has decided that he or she knows better than you and what to do in the situation. They can handle it. They can take care of themselves. So now you're stuck. You got a choice. Wife, another child, younger child, stay there and watch them, protect them, or go after the wayward child and beat the living snot out of them so that they understand that when you say something, you mean it, especially in a situation like this. What do you do? What do you do? What is your choice? Now, my wife has her concealed carry card. I made her get it for as an anniversary gift. A few years ago, I said, you know what? I know I'm going to get you for anniversary. She says, oh, yeah, what are you going to get me? We're going to get you your concealed carry. So today we'll spend 8 hours in a classroom, and then tomorrow we'll spend another 8 hours at the range so you can get your concealed carry. Happy anniversary, honey. Love you. So let's assume you just started prepping, and you have 2 firearms. Well, your 15-year-old has taken the other one. You're left with one, leaving your wife and the other child with nothing. So what choice are you going to make? without rule of law, the pack of human crap is roaming the streets, and they're looking to take whatever they want. And I want to be very honest with all of you out here. I want you to understand this. Women, you're going to be very vulnerable in this situation. You don't think you're going to have packs of men out looking for a sexual attack, take whatever they want, knowing there's not going to be any punishment? Ladies, I implore you, go get a concealed carry permit if you have to. Maybe you don't need it where you live. Buy a firearm. Learn how to use it properly. When to employ it and when not to. It is that important. Without rule of law, women are going to be extremely vulnerable, as are small children, because then you're going to see all the pedophiles coming out. And then you got the ones who are drug crazed and drunk who don't care where they get their rocks off. Look, I'm not here to tell you that just because you're a prepper, you're going to be all set and everything's going to be fine. You need to understand the situation we're talking about here. So when I go back to the cruelty to animals, we got people who are willing to do unspeakable acts of cruelty to animals, lower life forms. What are they going to do to you? Oh, you have food? Oh, you got a young daughter? Give her to us. Or how about this? Give me your daughter or I'll kill your wife. Or better yet, we're going to rape your wife and your daughter and make you watch before we kill all of you. What are you going to do? Don't think that this situation will not happen. It will happen without rule of law and the grid goes down. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to educate you, to hopefully implore you to get the training you need. Look, I know you're not looking at this on a Saturday night. I get it. And you're probably saying, well, how in the hell did you come up with all this? Well, I'll tell you something. 45 minutes ago, it came to me. It just dawned on me. Believe it or not, I was sitting downstairs watching the Spin Ghoulie, old ghost movie from 1937 called The Uninvited. And my mind started drifting. I started thinking about this thing. And I said, that's it. I told my wife, I'm going upstairs. I'm doing a radio show. She says, why? I said, well, it's late night Saturday. I call it the Saturday, and I told you, I'm going to call it the Saturday night show. We do it a little bit later at night. Normally, we do things at 8 o'clock Central. This one, we started at 11 o'clock Central. And it doesn't have to be, if you read the intro to the show, let's talk about various topics. We don't have to, on Saturday night, we don't have to talk about prepping or any of that. So as you can see, I explained my thought process, how this came about and where I'm going with it. I really wasn't planning on going this way, but now we are, so here we are. What do you think? 516-453-9389. Call in. Get your pencil and papers ready. I'll tell you again. Or you can go to the chat room. I got Bessard, Tukey 2, Guest 1282, and Guest 1293 all in there. They're very quiet. Either A, they're thinking, B, they're sleeping, or C, they're drinking and thinking, what kind of show is he doing? What the hell is he talking about? Well, now you know. You know, it's easy for us as preppers to dismiss all of this. Because you sit there and say, well, I'm prepped. I got my rifle, got my pistol, got my semi-auto pistol, even got a shotgun, semi-automatic shotgun. For some of you, you even have a 37-millimeter grenade launcher, which, by the way, is legal in the United States. You just can't have the 40-millimeter grenade launcher. I guess, according to the government, that those 3 millimeters make the difference. And that's absolutely right. Ladies, this is especially true for you. You need to look at alternate ways of defense besides guns. There are plenty, plenty, plenty of self-defense martial arts you can take. I'm not saying one is better than the other. That's a judgment you're going to have to make. Thank you, Julie. It's an excellent point. If you want to talk to Julie, she's in the chat room. I myself, for my wife and my daughter, I've insisted that they take the Krav Maga, KRAVMAGA. The reason I chose that one for them was because that's the same martial arts that the Israeli military trains their female soldiers with, the men too. But because it's the system set up so that practically anybody, except maybe your 90-year-old grandmother, could do. Ladies, I have to tell you something. I do not envy you if the grid goes down. Actually, I am actually terrified at the thought for women who are not in the prepper group, who have no means of defense, whether it's firearms, knives, empty-handed defense techniques. I'm terrified for you. Now, 25% of our listening audience are women. So I'm speaking to that 25%. Some of you women out there will say, you know, look, my mother's 70 years old. She just went and bought two guns. I went with her. And she says, I said, well, is this too heavy for you? She goes, no. I said, pull the trigger. She bought a revolver and she bought a semi-auto. She had a hard time on the revolver. I said, well, that's no problem. We can fix the trigger on that. But she's 70 years old. She has some arthritis in her hands. Some women, as Julie has pointed out, aren't going to be comfortable with using firearms. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the use of firearms is the end-all, be-all for your self-defense. As a matter of fact, you should have a firearm. If you don't want to use it, then by all means, go take a martial arts class. Choose whichever one you want, because something is better than nothing. Anything, including the ballpoint pen or the pencil you're using to take notes on this great show, because I have smart listeners on this show, you can use that as a weapon. You remember, all right, look, I'm 53 years old. When I was in school, we had the Bic ballpoint pens and the Wright Brother pens. Ballpoints, remember those? Black pens, you couldn't use blue, had to use black. But it had the clear plastic shell to it, and they had the little plastic inkwell inside. You know which ones I'm talking about? Those make great weapons. Ladies, I want you to know something. If you're attacked in your home, go to the kitchen. You're saying, why go to the kitchen? What the hell's wrong with you? Why, I should go lock myself in a room. Because in the kitchen is considered one of the most dangerous places in the house. Because why? You have access to all kinds of utensils. Forks, spoons, butter knives, steak knives, carving knives. All kinds of stuff. How about, you know, laugh now, believe me later. Why don't you take your 10-inch frying pan and take a swing at somebody's freaking head with it and tell me what happens. Point is, ladies, I am actually terrified for you in a world without the rule of law. Because you know, deep in your heart, there are animals out there. if they're willing to go after defenseless animals who have absolutely no threat to them whatsoever, what are they going to do to you? Men, what are they going to do to your daughters and your wives if they can get to them? Let's be honest about this. It's not going to be pretty. You know, we did a show. I talked about EMP Wednesday night. One of the statistics is this. If an EMP hits, and I guarantee you the United States is, if the United States is a victim of an EMP attack, I guarantee you we will not be the only society that's going to travel back 160 years. Instantly, we're going to bring others along with us for the fun ride. Now, one of the statistics that came out was after an EMP attack and all that that involves, when it's all said and done, if they could get the grid back up, if they can restore power, if they can do all these things, it's a big if. It will happen, but it'll take a lot of time, a lot of effort. The population of, let's put it this way, the human population of the world will be decreased to 10%. Not decreased by 10%, decreased to 10%. That's from Dr. Pry. He's one of our leading Einstein gurus of EMP. The man's been studying it and bitching about it for the last 40 years. He is the top guy in the United States, Dr. Pry. Look him up. So, ladies, I ask you, men, I ask you, in a world without the rule of law, because let's be honest about it. We got the rule of law now. You turn on your TV, we still got people stealing, murdering, raping, kidnapping, assaulting people, whether it's a battery or a sexual battery or rape. And that's what the world in which we have the rule of law now. What happens when there is no rule of law, where there are no courts, there are no, you know, government services to call to help? I'm curious. We got a caller. Hello, caller. Sorry it took so long.
Hey, John, it's Brandon.
Brandon, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm just fighting some wind out here in Nebraska right now.
Nebraska?
Yep. Crossing Nebraska, headed over to Minneapolis.
You, sir, are a long way from home.
Yeah, I'm training a new guy. Been training new staff, so. One of the new routes that's opening.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Julie says, hey, Brandon.
Hey, yeah, I finally got in touch with her, actually.
Good woman, isn't she?
Yeah, we've just been doing a little email correspondence, bouncing back and forth.
That's cool. That's what I do with her.
Yeah.
And she's smart. She's a smart woman. She's a little down on her luck, but I do believe she's, I think she's hit the valley and is about to start climbing out of it.
Yeah, it's. I should probably get her to send me some pictures of the damage. Have you seen it at all? Or
no, I don't believe she's posted it. I don't believe she.
That'd be interesting to see.
I think she's lost just about everything. It's that bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She's in the chat room, so maybe she could let us know. Anyways.
Yeah.
My man, welcome to the Saturday Night Show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I know you did a late night show. I haven't listened to your, the Roundtable from Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
That show that you had Mike on from New York. That was pretty interesting. I just listened to that last night.
This is our second Saturday night show, my friend. Mike was on the first one.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. That was an interesting show with Mike.
Yeah, I totally dug it. I just happened to cross your post on Facebook. I was like, oh, he's live now, so I'll call in.
Cool. I'm glad, man. You know, this is, on a Saturday night show, we can talk about anything. No topics.
I wanted to kind of round out you were talking about Krav Maga.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So I'm no martial artist by any stretch of the imagination, but Krav Maga, the reason why they teach it is because it's for taking on multiple assailants, but not actually engaging them. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but they teach you to stay on the periphery, right? How to basically not get surrounded by multiple people. Stay on the periphery and not engage until there's an opening to
disable
to get
the attacker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
And then, it's actually, you know, everybody wants to do, you know, they kind of romanticize the UFC, jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and all that. When you're in a fight, it's typically not one-on-one, you know, like
it
a bar
is not,
fight is rarely one-on-one.
Rarely.
And
I've been a few of those.
Yeah, you take a guy down to the ground, you're going to be eating somebody's fist.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
His buddy will help, believe me.
One of the things I've been having my girlfriend carry around, she doesn't like to carry knives, but I finally found something that she likes. She'll actually carry on her. It's made by Cold Steel. It's like a polymer knife.
Oh, okay.
It's made completely from polymer. It's super lightweight. Now, it's not going to have, you know, an edge retention like steel, but you can get some stabbing thrusts in, and it's gonna survive one fight. That's for sure.
If it's a polymer, you should be able to do some damage with it, and it's perfect.
Yeah,
is your woman's purse like mine, wife's purse is? Like, she carries like 4 pounds of spare change in the bottom.
Actually, I wanted to get her a really nice purse for Christmas. So I was gonna get her like this really expensive Coach purse. That she can carry around with her, but she does not like, she's not a purse person. Doesn't like that.
Okay. Okay.
The only woman I've ever met that doesn't like to have a purse. So, it's been a struggle to get her to do an everyday carry, you know, flashlight, multi-tool, have a blade.
Right.
It's been a really, really difficult struggle with her.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you got something that it's lightweight. She's more apt to carry it.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. All right, very well. You know, guys, I only set the show up for an hour tonight because I know some people listen to it on their way to work, and it only takes about an hour to get there. So, you know, if this show decides to take off, I'll expand the time slot a little bit more than what I have. But I just wanted to do it for like an hour, the first few episodes, to see if it takes. So far, it looks pretty good. I got the metrics in the first show. Not bad. I could do better. So I said I'll give it a few more Saturdays to see if this really takes. Now, because Brandon's an over-the-road truck driver, he likes to tune in all night, every night.
Yeah, I usually am listening via podcast.
A lot of people do. That's true. You know what? A lot do the podcast. That's why I wanted to see if the hour slot is better than the 2-hour slot. Now, if you're stuck in Chicago on rush hour traffic and it happens to be snowing on the expressways and you're moving at about, I don't know, 5 miles an hour, which is, you know, enough to make truck drivers like Brandon want to blow their brains out, because they can't, because once they get started, they got to stop again. So you're stuck for 2.5 hours on the highway trying to go 30 miles just to get home from downtown Chicago. So I understand that, like I said. So, Mr. Brandon?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm muting myself because I know there's a lot of wind noise from my truck. So,
did you get a new truck?
I'm going to be driving a desk here in the next couple of weeks.
You're getting the promotion, aren't you?
Yeah.
More money, yes?
We're negotiating that. So it's likely to happen. We'll see, you know, what the dollar amount is.
Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do without my over-the-road truck driver to give my listeners a personal perspective of what's going on throughout the country when you travel? What am I going to do then?
Actually, so the guy that I'm driving with, this is his second day now. He's a prepper. He's got a off-the-grid house, believe it or not. Off-the-grid I couldn't believe it. He kind of surprised me. I was like, you know, he's got food and water prep
nice.
And stuff like that. And so I told him about you spreading the word. So maybe I can get him
good.
To call you.
I gotta have it, man. I gotta have my live people out there reporting in what's going on when they see stuff.
Yeah, he's half of a husband and wife team.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to be taking the route that's going through kind of the central part of the U.S.
That's okay. Going through the heartlands in part is very important.
Yeah, yeah. Although Nebraska is a bit of a boring state to drive through.
It's all flat. There's nothing. It's all flat. What's his name? Oh, looks like we lost Brandon. That's okay. He can call back a little bit later. Anyways, we got about 7 minutes left, then we're going to call it quits for tonight's episode. As I said, this is just a test show for late Saturday night just to see what's going on. Julie says, if your purse only weighs 4 pounds, you are slacking, and to have a purse, that's a requirement for womanhood. So, ladies, feel free. All right. Guest 1282 is still with us. That's good. Bizarre 2001, he's listening in intently, I might add. And, of course, we got Julie. Brandon called back in. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, sorry about that, John. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
You would think I'd have stellar reception being that the state's so flat, but not so much.
Okay, here we go. Bizarre 2001 says he's off and on live and on the podcast with TuneIn Radio. Very nice. You know, I'm at the top of TuneIn Radio's shows. So that's good stuff there. What's your partner's name there? His first name only.
His name's Ryan. He's in the bunk right now.
Well, tell Ryan I said hi. And I expect him to be a listener.
He's waking up here in about 2 hours. I got 2 hours to go before I can quit.
Mm-hmm. All right. No, Julie, I did not give away the Saturday night time slot. Listen to her. Actually, this may be the best thing that happened for Julie. I'm not giving it away. What the hell is she thinking? Whining about
it. I figured she was going to probably...
She's whining about
like
it. I'm going to slap her around a little bit. No, I'm not giving away your Saturday night time slot. Actually, I'm giving you a brand new forum, a very cool forum I'm going to hand off to you. Talk about whatever you want, especially when it comes to the ladies and prepping. So she says she's not whining. She's just commenting. That's the same thing. In the meantime,
Has she made a decision what she's going to do? She mentioned moving to Florida.
She has mentioned it to me. I'm sure she has not made a final decision. You know, moving to Florida for her is moving cross country. I mean, going from the northwest corner of the country to the southeast corner of the country. That's a long move, and it takes money. You know, it's not going to be a cheap move, you know. So, I don't know. So, she says she's free. Free, free, she says. I'm free. No, she is free.
I suppose if I was going to move, I'd be moving to Texas.
That's what I told her.
I was going to go anywhere.
That's what I told her. So that's where they got the jobs and everything else, and you got, you know, we got a lot of listeners in Texas. We got
the only
got
state that's energy independent, right?
Damn right, sure is. You know, but that's, you know, something she'll have to do. Well, in the meantime, look, we got about 3 minutes left in the slot here, so you know, I may end up moving this. I don't know. Dawn might take Friday nights. I'm not sure if, I don't know. Maybe I'll move the Sunday night show. No, I can't move it to late night because everybody's got to get up the next day for work. I'll figure something out if this works out well. In the meantime, my friend.
All right. Oh, yeah. Sorry I hijacked the show at the end of the show.
That's
here.
Okay.
I didn't know it was a one-hour broadcast.
That's okay. So. Don't even worry about it. Nah, I'm not complaining. I'm glad you called in.
All right, brother. Have a good night. Get some sleep. Maybe I'll call in on the it'll be the tomorrow's show.
Tomorrow's show, yeah. That'll be the normal time, 8 o'clock. All right then, my friend. Be careful out there driving with these clowns. I know how they drive, and they drive like crap. Because we have to text and drive at the same time. We got to do everything but drive.
Yep.
Uh oh. Julie says she has a marriage proposal in Florida.
Well, that's not something I can match. So.
I heard that 6 months ago. She's still there. I don't know. We'll talk some sense to her. She says, I'm free. Well, maybe not so much if you get married. All right. All right, Brandon. Thanks, buddy. And say
have a good night.
All right. Say goodnight to Bazaar 2001 in the chat room. Thanks for tuning in tonight, guy. Miss Julie, I'll be seeing you in the funny papers, or the funny pages, as they say. So with that said, I want to sign off tonight with my usual to my prepper and patriot friends out there. I say to you this, be safe. Be alert and be vigilant. And I've got a feeling Julie's going to be back a lot sooner than everybody thinks. And so, until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central, I'm John Jeffers for the Contra Radio Network saying thank you for listening and good night.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.